So actually, I got this email today. Somebody sent me this email, and I was thinking of this email. Such a sad email. Email about a girl, one of these what they call blogs. Somebody sends this to me about a girl who writes the following thing: she's married, kids, religious husband, and religious kids, but she doesn't believe anymore. That's clear from her life description. Lamaisa, she never was a strong believer. She like lives like this fake life, like for her husband and kids. And I was like reading. I never even heard of this site. But so I looked at the comments also, and apparently, you know, there was other people echoing this reality, and it really like hits me how it's. Well, we all know, and I've mentioned this year, it's really possible to live an orthoprax life, going through the motions in life and really never feeling close to Hashem. It's feasible, it's possible to go through life and never have Yiras Shamayim, never have a kirva to Hashem, and you miss the boat of life. I'm looking at this thing, I'm thinking like, I it could happen anywhere, but like that a girl could be so lost, and you know she never really tasted Yahadus. I could see also from his without Yiras Shamayim, without a connection to Hashem, a person's missing a tremendous, tremendous amount. And really, even without striving and steiging in Yiddishkeit, in Judaism, a person's missing a tremendous amount. You can live a life, and really, this girl was amazing to me. Is what she described, the way she described Judaism, laws and legalities, and she was difficult. Like all the technical things were difficult for this person. The person was a shtickle modernisha, you know, a little bit. Never probably tasted Judaism deeply, but it was all about laws and barriers. It was never about Hashem. You see what I'm saying? If you don't feel Hashem in it, of course it's going to be difficult. Anything, if you don't have passion in anything in life. If you have, you can look at marriage and as rules of the game. You can look at parenthood as rules of the game. You could, you know, if you look at your job, what you can't, you have to be passionate about your job. Anyone passionate about their job? You don't love their job? You don't love your job? It's your job. Your job is to be a guy.
That's a great job.
Let me tell you something. That's also a job. That's your life.
I'm passionate about it.
That's your life. Absolutely. Listen, my mother's retired for years.
Very passionate.
You get to come to classes and shiurim and do chesed. You get to sub once in a while. You should go to preschool. You get to let your husband learn some Torah. You know, get to push your door along around a little bit. You know, right? This is great. No, I'm seriously. Whatever you do, this is really the whatever a person does. They don't appreciate and they're not passionate about it. They don't gain it, and it doesn't. You don't do it as well, and it's not enjoyable. And Yiddishkeit, Torah, is the best. Not only is it the true, not only is it all important, but when a person's connected in the right way, there's nothing better in the whole world. There's nothing better than to be close to Hashem. There's nothing better to be growing. There's nothing better. Yiras Shamayim, for an outsider, Yiras Shamayim, to fear Hashem, like seems like so, you know, Puritan, like so. Oh, scary. And when your person has Yiras Shamayim, you realize that you live in awe of Hashem. It's a different galaxy. Right? It's a different reality. And what we're learning is so crucial for that spiritual spark. That you can really, you can be surrounded by, you know, all of the trappings of Torah. And if you don't have the heart of Torah, if you don't have that spark in Torah, you're missing so much. You're missing the essence of what it means to be a Jew. The essence of what it means to be a Jew. And then, I don't know if it's extreme as writing an entry on some blog as this girl who lives in an orthoprax life, like to the outside world is religious, and inside is zero. But even if you don't have that, God forbid, you have a lack. There's a difference between what you want or what you should be doing and what you are. Right? Whether it's in marriage or as a parent, when you don't have that intimacy in a relationship, you know, I see it all the time in parent-child relationship, from the child's part, from the parents' part, husband, wives, right? When you lack that intimacy, you feel it, right? You don't even feel it, like that loss. If you're a Jew and you don't have that intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's an empty world to an extent. And what creates intimacy is having a depth of relationship. So what we're doing is so, so important. I really, you know, and this work is, there's no better work than this Lo Sasharim, than to get a connection with Hashem and to get a connection to growth in Torah. So we talked about how many reasons to come to have that spark. There's three reasons we spoke at length. Remember any of the three reasons? Three impetuses how to do it? Number one is for the altruistic reason that it's the best lifestyle. Like you can't, when you wanting to be perfect, wanting to have shleimus, you want it because it's in and of itself right. Right? It's in and of itself. There's nothing better than that. Right? Is a person I spoke at that length. Number two is that as a reality is nobody likes to be second place. And if you say you do, you're fooling yourself, right? The whole thing about kavod in the world to come, in the world of truth, we are how we perform, right? And in life, no, even a person who quote unquote doesn't care cares. If you see someone lower than you, the person who's not as intelligent you doing better than you, apology. Why are they there if I could do it? And in the world to come, if we don't perform in this world, we will be bothered eternally by the fact that we underachieved. And number three, and we spoke about this at length, and we spoke about even by the righteous, is performance. Schar v'oinish. At the end of the day, whether you come to this class or not, if you keep Torah and mitzvahs, you're rewarded. If you're a nice person, you're rewarded. If you dress tznius, if you're rewarded. If you keep Shabbos, you're rewarded. And if you don't, there is a consequence. Just like in every area in life, there are consequences. Now, I said this, and I'll reiterate it. Life is about taking small steps. It's about direction. Remember, we talked about the direction we're at. It's about where you want, where you're headed towards, where you're going. But like Mrs. Lubyanka, remember your nurse? If she doesn't show up, do you give her a raise? Oh. Do you give her a promotion?
Yeah, it depends.
Depends. You give her? She doesn't show up?
No.
I want to work for your office.
Good. No. If she's a good worker.
But if she doesn't work?
I mean, no. If she's.
Did you ever fire anyone? Why did you fire them? Because they did a good job or a bad job?
Bad job.
And would you ever give someone a little promotion?
I give, but not the same person. She's not working.
Right. But you get performance. Really, what about a Kaiser?
You need to be...
Kaiser? If you don't show up, they keep you around?
Well, it's hard to kick somebody out, but yeah, it's
going to
be...
Okay, yeah, and this is with unions. There's no unions in Shammai. You're up. There's no unions out there. You're up for yourself. Right? No, in life, it's surreal. Like, you know, there is judgment, and we discussed at length why judgment is important. And if you can't be sparked by the more real things, be sparked because there is a consequence. That what we do is consequences. And if we don't pick up our game, if we don't pick up our Yiddishkeit, it's very easy. I'm telling you, I've been in many from communities. It's very easy just to go along with the flow and just think, this is my religious level. At the end. Never think about, could I be doing more? Or should I be doing more? And it's very easy to go ahead and live that way. You know, especially I'm the most, I don't know how many times he goes, I had an Israeli time this recently. The guy, it's Sephardi Israelis are our piece of work. I like artwork. You know, these Masorti guys, I love having lunch with them because it's almost, they're a geschmack. You know geschmack? Do you know what a geschmack is?
It's not really a Sephardi word.
It's not a Sephardi word at all. Like, geschmack is not an American word. You can't even translate. Geschmack is just like enjoyable to be with. They're enjoyable guys. Like, they can talk, they can sell the Brooklyn Bridge. You know, so they start telling me, yeah, I'm the rabbi, I need mutsuyon. They start telling me their whole, I'm great. So I said, what about Shabbos? Kosher. But they think they're Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, it's like unbelievable. And you message people before, by the way?
Yeah.
Have you ever messaged a person before?
A what?
Have you met such a person like this in Israel?
Yeah, of course.
A Sephardi guy who's traditional, who they, you know, and life is good. Like, you know, and there's like no, and I'm telling you, You could be in the Mir Yeshiva, and you could be selling yourself completely short. And there's consequences to that. It's not. Hashem is going to look at us. He can sell the Brooklyn Bridge to whoever. He can't sell the Brooklyn Bridge to Hashem. Hashem is going to look at us. What could you have done? And if that doesn't motivate us to push ourselves, then nothing will. You got to be with that reality that we're in this world. So your ladies chose right. So Wednesday night, you could be sitting back, sleeping on your couch or on your bed. You could be, none of you have televisions, but there's something called a television. If you could go to your friend's house and watch television, right? You could be wasting your time on Google Book. I mean, there's a million things to be doing, right? You can play with your phone for the 50th time in an hour. There's a million things you could do, right? We're here, so it's unbelievable. But if you don't push yourself, whether you come to this class or not, there are consequences to that. We're in this world. Olam Hazeh is a world of advancement, either going or not going, either doing or not doing, either pushing yourself or not. And that's how he ends. These are the things that should motivate us. And the motivation, by the way, for everyone in this room, this is all important, and I've stressed this, I'll reiterate it, is that we should be sparked to push ourselves, and everyone's different. Everyone's life situations are different. Everyone's upbringing is different. Everyone's nature and nurture is different. And everyone's challenges are different. But the going in a path, in a direction upwards, where we're exerting ourselves, that is, if we're not doing that, then something's amiss. Right? If we're not doing that, if we're coasting, or if we're on cruise control, that's the greatest danger. So what takes us away from this recognition of being vigilant, right? Being vigilant to do so. So now in Perek K, the fifth Perek, the Ramchal is going to talk about things that pull us away. I gave this mashal. I don't remember if I gave this in this class. That really life is a yellow brick road. Did I ever talk about the yellow brick road in this class? Mm-hmm. I did. No. So I said. I think I said that with my other, maybe from the men one time. I said, life is like a yellow brick road. Everyone heard of the yellow brick road?
Yes.
Right?
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz, right? So life is like a yellow brick road. The yellow brick road?
The yellow stones, right?
Yeah. Yellow stones to Oz, So it's that some people are not born on that yellow brick road. And they have to find their way onto the yellow brick road, because that's how you get to Olam Haba. That yellow brick road leads to the place of glory. Some people are not born there. Some people have a hard time getting on that road. Some people are born on that road, and they see a pretty flower, and they say, "I'll come right back," or they're distracted, or someone says, "Hello," and they say, "How are you?" and they get off the road, right? Or sometimes there's something on the side there, and they lose focus, and they get off the road. Sometimes they come right back on. Sometimes they don't come right back on. But the key is in life to get to where you're supposed to. Is to get on that road, and once you're on there, stay on there. Right? And that road is not just being orthodox, being Torah observant, it's being growth oriented. That is the yellow brick road. The yellow brick road of life is to be a growth oriented Torah Jew. Wherever you are, to get onto that road, and once you're on there, stay on there. Today, we're going to think of the things that take us off that road. Things that push us away from that road. So says the Ramchal, the things that cause us to lose zahiras, vigilance in life, is shlosha, is three things. Ha'echad, number one, is ha'tipol v'ha'tirda ha'olamis. Right? Being occupied, and preoccupied, and involved with, overwhelmed by life. You're busy, you have kids, you have work, you have exercise, you have things in life. Things pull you away from spirituality. You're very busy in life, number one. Number two is haschoik v'halatzon, levity and mockery. Everything's a joke. You don't take life seriously. Like this Israeli I had lunch with last week. Everything was funny. Laughed his way through everything. Everything was a joke. Message people, by the way. Everything. I mean, there's plenty of Americans the same way, but they talk differently. It's like there's a different genre of like that Jew, like sophisticated. It's a joke. Like nothing's really serious. It doesn't make a difference. Right. So if you're observant, you take things like, but it's not, don't take things so seriously, make light of it. Making things into a joke is number two. We're going to elaborate and flesh out all of these things. And number three is chavara, bad friends. Bad friends. Right? How many good people get the wrong friend? I always say there's never a kid who takes drugs on their own. It's always somebody who offers it to them. Right? And that's in the Gaisha Welt. It's a kid. You don't end up, but a bad friend can pull you in the wrong place. Sometimes those friends are relatives, and sometimes they're just your friends. Bad friends could cause a person to leave that Yellow Brook Road and never come back. The first one is respect to involvement in preoccupation with your day in life. People are get busy with life. We already spoke about earlier. Since a person's tarud is involved b'inyani ha'olamai, involved in their day in and day out things. So if you're in business, you're thinking about your deals, your business, your work, and in this part of the world, high tech, typically. Or if you have kids and you have a house and or you're doing both, your head's in all kinds of places, right? Which, if you infuse it, could be spiritual, but intrinsically, it's not something spiritual. Plenty of Gentiles are working and involved with the kids. They're not thinking about God for 1 minute. Plenty of Jews as well. So it's, you can infuse that with spirituality, but it's not in and of itself spiritual, okay? You have to have that focus. So you can be so caught up with life that you forget about Hashem. You may be religious at times, but it's not part of your life. It's very little. You're so busy with so many other things that you can't think about being a kinder person, a more generous person, a person who works on their prayer, a person who takes Shabbos more seriously. You're not thinking about any of these things. You're just thinking about, in your own mind, survival. Getting through the day. You know, I'm sure we've heard this from other people. Rabbi, I'm just trying to. I'm busy. I'll see Yom Kippur. I don't have time. I don't have time. I'm busy. The guy has time to golf. Guy has time to have Starbucks for his business, but I don't have time. I remember when I was in law school. When I interviewed for some of these law firms, I remember it was one for the heavy. They were high in the hours, so I went to find out what the work life was like. Family life, like the balance. So I said to this guy, oh, so tell me what it's like. If you're married, I was married with kids. To be a family man in the firm. So I said to me, I'm on my third marriage, trust me, it's fine. Thinking to myself, oh my goodness. I didn't even realize, you can marry your business. You know what happens when you marry business? You don't have a wife, you don't have kids, you don't have a life, right? Well, you can marry your business and forget about Hashem. So you can be married to your chores. You can be married to your social life and forget about Hashem. You get so busy, you have no time for spirituality. You have no time for what the whole purpose of life is. the essence of Chaim is this. And you get so busy, you lose focus. Someone told me this last week. I met somebody. He told me, right now I'm doing my business. In a few years, I'm gonna do these things. Do you think in a few years to be less busy or more busy? It's always going to be there. A person loses focus because they're tugging on the rope. They're caught up in the chains and burdens of their jobs, of their work, of their life. And you can't think about your life. How are your midas? There's some people that are so busy being mothers, they do a poor job. If they'd work on themselves, not getting angry, being patient. But they're so busy being a mother. on strategies, right? If they'd be working on themselves, there'll be a million other things they can go ahead and get. Right? So the Evshalom Lasis Leva Lamaisem, Vachamalam Hashem Biroisum Ze Amru, Have a mayat be'isek. Parallel less time into your other things. Va'asik b'teirah. And study Torah. Which is, do less of other things. Make time for spirituality. This we've all heard. It's a famous story that Rabbi Saul Salanter was once asked. The guy said he had an hour a week to study Torah. What should he study? So typically, in the world of Torah, the highest thing is Gemara. He figures, hey, Gemara, what mesechta to learn? So Rabbi Salanter told him, Rabbi Salanter was the Gadol Hador, the greatest sage in the latter half of the 19th century in Lithuania. So Rabbi Salanter said, learn Musar, and you realize you have a lot more than an hour a week to learn. You'll have a lot more. Learn Musar, look deeply, and you'll realize you have a lot more than an hour a week to learn. Right, so you have to be involved in the world. You have to exercise. You have to eat. You have to sleep. You have to be involved in business. These are things you have to do. You have to make a parnasa. That's mukhrach. But being overly involved in it, that's you can't have a life. You don't have a Hashem in life. You're missing. Let me ask you a question. If you're married, or you have a relationship, or you're a parent, or you're a child, whatever it is, if you can't have a relationship with your family at all from the job, what would you do to such a job? What would you do? I would tell you what I would do. I'd quit. I would go somewhere else. A job is more important than my kids and my wife? Mm-hmm. What's your priorities in life? Well, where's your heart? What are you doing? If somebody's in a job and they're physically getting sick, what do? You quit. You don't do such a job. You're getting sick, and when you get spiritually sick, when you're selling your neshama and your neshama starves to death, how do you do that to yourself? I'm saying you have to quit. But how do you have a situation where you let your neshama, your soul, starve? You don't feed your neshama. The Rambam, Maimonides in Shmona Prakim, in his Hakdama, his introduction to Pirkei Avos, compares the soul, just like you physically have to eat, you spiritually have to eat for your neshama. In fact, the Reb Chaim Vital, who was the greatest student of the Rizal, says you pray three times a day like you eat three times a day. It means the reason Chazal made prayer at those intervals is because that's how much, one of the things, most important things about tefillah, about prayers, it brings you close to Hashem. It's not just because you're obligated to pray. We need to pray. Now, men need it more than ladies. You have to have minyan, but everyone needs to pray. You forget. You can starve your neshama. Not only do you starve your neshama, you don't work on yourself if you get caught up in life. This is in particular. So it's put to everyone. It means put times to spiritual growth. Everybody has to have a certain point each day where we focus on spiritual growth. Does anyone fast today? Anyone fast? Does anyone ever fast when they're obligated to? If you do, you probably need to see a psychiatrist for eating disorder, right? I'm saying people eat. That's healthy. People eat every day, right? Right? Yeah, you get healthy. People eat every day. I ate well, by the way, on Sunday. So good. It was a good food at the Chasir Torah, right? Fantastic. At the end of the day, you eat. Well, you make time to eat. You have to make time for Ruchnias. A person has to make. It cannot be a day in your life where you have no connection to Hashem. If you didn't, you starved your neshama that day. You starved your neshama. A day you don't connect to Hashem is you starve your neshama. It's like you didn't eat that day. In the physical world, you'll feel it, but in the spiritual world, you starve in a neshama. So he says a person has to have set times for Torah for Ruchnias. Kfar zacharnu shem etzterechas yoyis la'adam l'shiagia al-zehiras. Actually, so Torah, which I'm going to expand to Ruchnias, is the most important for all of everything else. Uchmam Rabbi Pinchas, Torah is mevi'a li'day zehiras v'zulos lo yagia elav klal. Without Torah, you will not come to Zahira civil vigilance at all. Fumash Amr Chazal, Lo Amr Aretz Chasid. If you're an ignorant person, if you don't think about Hashem, you won't be a pious person. Right? If you don't put time into spiritual growth, it will not happen. Right? It will not happen, especially in the world we live in today. If you do not put time into it, if you don't put time into character development, you will be the same person in 10 years from now or in 20 years from now, if not worse than you were today. A person needs to put time into that. Hashem, who created our souls, he created Torah as the antidote to allow us to be successful. Anyone ever have an antibiotic? What happens if you don't take your antibiotic?
You don't get well.
I'll pick on our dermatology. Oh, my favorite dermatologist. Right? Right? People ever come to you with athlete's foot? Yeah? So what happens if they don't put any medicine on it if they have it? What? They put no creams on it. They put nothing on it. Get better?
Again, depends.
Really? It could get better by itself?
Yeah, not by itself.
So put nothing on it.
Wash it.
But you do nothing.
You do nothing. You wear smelly socks every day.
Sometimes it doesn't get
creamed. No, but I'm saying you don't take care of it at all. You just wear the same...
Sometimes, you know, in the head.
In the head.
They can itching.
Yeah. So in this case, Hashem creates us. Guaranteed not to be successful if you don't follow it. Right? Now, success, by the way, doesn't mean they're going to be doing a murderer or a thief. But success for us means being the person we could be. Okay? It means being the person we could and should develop into. Being the person we could and should develop into. The person we're able to. Is that Baruch Shmo Yetzirah? Then you should create towards the top of the Kamosh Amru Chazal. Baras Yetzirah. God says, I created the Yetzirah, evil inclination. Baras lo Torah Tavim. In a Pashahu. Shema Bor lo Bar Lamaka Zu Ela Refua Zu. And if God says, I created this illness or this difficulty, and this is the antidote, Afshir B'shum Panim. Yafshir B'shum Panim. Shirapa Adam Mezoi Samakabil. The only way you could be successful and being the person you could and should be is with a connection to Torah and with spirituality. That's the only way. A person who thinks they'll do other things and be successful in this area is fooling themselves. Right? If you want to get onto that yellow brick road and stay there, then you have got to follow the rules of the yellow brick road. And the way you get on that yellow brick road is by being spiritually healthy. And the way you stay on there is by being spiritually healthy. And the way you do that is first and foremost dedicating time to Torah and to spirituality. Dedicating time to Torah. And the world we live in today, the messaging is so crazy. It has nothing to do with anything that we believe in. Everything out there, all the messaging around us, right, is not telling us that. We don't have, you know, it used to be, if you lived in Vilna in 1655, you would see the Shach walking around. You know the Shach was? You know the Shach Sikon was? You know the Shach? Shach is the foremost commentator on Shulchan Aruch and Yeridah. Shach was a Jew. You saw Moshe. You know, you saw a Jew like that. You saw lots of people like that. And you'd go to Shul, people would be screaming their heads off, Shema! And you go down there and everyone was tznius. There's not one lady. Every lady was dressing tznius around you. And everyone would say, only nice things, no lashon. There wasn't everyone, but that was the society. So when you live in that society, you know what you can do? Coast a little bit. Does that remind you of San Francisco, out of curiosity, Vilna in 1656? Anything alike? You know, the Shach walking around, people dressing all tznius, people saying, you know, Be'ez Hashem, please God, how is the weather today? Oh, please God, it should be nice. Does that resonate to the world we live in today at all? Not at all. That's not the world we live in. So the Ramchal's writing this in the mid-18th century. Today, if you don't make time for Torah Ruchnius, you'll never have it. It ain't going to be there. If you don't put time to spiritual growth, it's not coming from anywhere else. A person needs that. That is the antidote to a person to steig. Ms. Bellion, Ms. Snorri, you know what steig means? What does steig mean? Good, close, steig, huh? Effort and study are prerequisites for steiging, to grow, to push, to get ahead, to yalla. No yalla.
Yes, we know that.
Yalla. There you go. Yalla in life. You know, you gotta go yalla in life. If you're going yalla, you're in a good place. Not, right? Yalla. It's just, right? Steig. You know, you want to get a share. Ask Andy and Tony, did you steig today?
Andy?
Ask him, did he steig today when you see him?
It's in Yiddish?
Yiddish. Yeah. Yiddish. But in every yeshiva, the litmus test for Rosh Hashiva is a bakar, is a student steiging. Steiging. It means, you know, you could be a little bit behind, but if you're steiging, you're pushing yourself, you're growing. You could be way ahead, you could coast. Very easy. So the Lotum of it's direction. It's direction coming from you. B'siyata d'shmaya. Oh my goodness! He says, if a person tries to do without Torah and spirituality, you know, when you make the, you'll really come to terms with it, and you die. What a loss! What an absolute loss! You could have, you know, to me that's the scariest thing. You know, as a rav of a shul of unbelievable people, is that somebody sells themselves short. You know, I mean, people aren't here are by and large people. You know, but the mistake is if you could have been more. Hey, there's going to be a picture of who we're supposed to be in this world. All of us in this room. You're going to be a picture of what we should have been. And they say, why didn't this happen? You could have been this. Nobody stopped you. Don't blame your mother. Don't blame your friends. Don't blame your IQ. Don't blame your fourth grade teacher. I've heard them all, by the way. All those things. All right? It's you. Because Hashem is going to look at us who we could be. And the only way it's going to be is if we put the time in. The only way is to put in this part. And again, I'm not just, you can go to the other class. This class gives us that perspective. It's a credit to everyone who comes, really. To put time into spiritual growth is so important. It's so crucial. We could all like lose so much opportunities in life by not having that sense of focus. You'll realize your ultimate mistake when you die. Our Yetzaharas, right, would do anything to sell short. I mean, anything to sell short. You know, you're very religious, or you're very, like this Israeli guy last week. Oh, that boy, what do you want from me? Right? Ani mutsuyan. Ani izu huyoyfi. Yeah, he's lying the straightest, you know. Yeah, but we all do that. Everyone does that. We all do that to an extent. We all have that facade. The Yetzirah doesn't, you know, and you can have a person who's excellent in certain areas. They daven so nicely and they take Shabbat seriously and they're nice, but they're weak in this one area, and that's okay. The Yetzirah is happy that they have that reality. In this one area, you know, there's good people. I've heard it all. I've had people you can't imagine, men looking at the worst things in the world, at the worst, their eyes in the gutter. And I've had the person you think is the nicest person, the most depressed, the most sad. Such a good person, so caring. Everyone loves the person. And they're so sad. I'm not talking about clinical. I'm talking about sad. People love the person. People care about the person. The person's sad. What are you being sad for? That's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah says it's okay to be sad. That's okay. You're supposed to be sad. I was just reading this article somebody sent me about eating disorders. It was about this woman who she quote divorcing Ed. Ed was her eating disorder, right? Ed, divorcing Ed. And it was a very successful woman. And she said, like, you could have lived with her, been around her, and you would have never known she had this problem until she hit rock bottom. You know, but what was interesting, when you read this, it was a part of a large book, something like 30 pages of it, is that what Ed, she called it Ed, her eating disorder, would tell her is that you are a fail. Like, he would put her down, right? He would, that's how the Yetzirah works. It's happy. If you get you on one weak link, you know what? What's a chain? What's that? How strong is a chain?
As strong as its weakest link.
And if it's a weak link, even if you're great and you're a good person, you know, the Yetzirah could clobber a person, could ruin a person on that weak link. Right? On the weak link. And So the Yetzer Hara is for all of us is very strong. We all have weak links, and the Yetzer Hara wants to break us or build us. It depends on how you want to view it right now. So it tells us, you know, that weak link, you're okay. You can have your temper tantrums because otherwise you're okay. You can be depressed because otherwise you're okay. You can look at that website because otherwise you're okay. That's how it tells us. Forever that thing is for us. We don't even work on it. It becomes okay. It's like our reality at this point. We're okay. This is stolen. Don't think to be okay? Mm-hmm. Is it good to be okay? It's good to think to be okay. No? You don't want to be okay? Want to be?
Depends.
Very sophisticated answer. Good answer. It's machloket. Everyone wants to be okay. So if the Yetzer Hara is telling us we're okay, gives us a pat on the back, we're happy to be okay. And really, you could have people in many areas. I think, and if you don't work on it, it could break you. I can't tell you, you know, how really wonderful people have awful things happen to them or make terrible mistakes because they don't work on themselves. And that one weak link, crushes them in. You know, it breaks them in. Right? And ultimately, some things we'll never know until we die because someone's going to say, why didn't you work on this? Why don't you make an effort in this? So the first thing to have zehiras to be on that yellow brick road is you need to invest time. You have to put time in Torah. If you do everything else in this world and you don't put that time in, the person doesn't take Torah and Ruchnias, you won't even realize how sick you are. He's not talking about a person who's irreligious. He's talking about a person who sell themselves short. You're going to go through your life and be, you know, I said this, you know, previously. If Mark Zuckerberg would work as a busboy, maybe a nice guy, he would have sold his life short. Would you agree? You know, he could be, if what's his name? Sergey Jobs. Yeah, Sergey Jobs, right? If Sergey Jobs, who was working for Yahoo, Allah Shalom, right? So he's working for Yahoo, and he ends up, instead of going to Stanford and opening whatever Sergey Jobs opened, Orange or Google, whatever you want to call it, right? So he goes ahead and ends up being a low computer engineer. He sold himself short. He could have been the most innovative person in Silicon Valley. Instead, he was a regular person. All of us, if we have everyone in this room, and I know everyone in this room, has tremendous potential to be the people we should be. If we don't do that, instead of being the Steve Jobs, the Sergey Brin, or the Mark Zuckerberg, we're going to be the low engineers. It doesn't mean we'll be miserable people, and it doesn't mean we'll be terrible people. It just means that if Steve Jobs would have been a low-level engineer. He wouldn't have been a bad person, but he would have sold himself short. You know, anyone ever hear of this guy, LeBron Curry? No one follows sports here, like I do. Yeah. Right?
I've heard two people who have one of those names each.
You don't read the same sports paper as I do. Right? LeBron Curry. Imagine LeBron Curry ended up I don't know. Is there minor leagues in basketball? Minor leagues in basketball. Something like that. And the minor leagues in basketball because he ate lots of cheeseburgers and didn't exercise, right? And he got involved with girls he shouldn't be involved with, and he got involved with smoking. He's not a loss. He could have been LeBron Curry, right? The champion of the Golden State Cavaliers, and instead he is, you know, a chubby guy in the minor leagues who smokes. Right? He could have been someone great. And instead, he was short. Well, that's all of us. I mean it's serious stuff because this is every Jew this applies to. They come to this class, they never hear the Nesilat Hashem, they never hear it in a million years, they don't want to hear it in a million years. This is reality. We have potential in this world. We can become great in this world. Right? We can steig in this world. Or we could sell ourselves short. Mrs. Snyder, I'm going to pick on you again. You want to have a great marriage or a mediocre marriage?
Great.
Would you be happy to have a mediocre marriage?
As long as we can work on it.
That's a good answer. It's unbelievable. As long as you can work, but would you be satisfied to have a mediocre? No, but let's say you did something mediocre, and you say, you know, after all is said and done, right, all of us are supposed to become the people. So he says the only way, remember I'm saying this, the only way, says the Ramchal, there's only one way. If you're not doing this, you will not be on that yellow brick road. If you're not doing this, you will not be successful. If you're not feeding your neshama, you can live 120 years and go in circles, and you will not be the person you could and should be. Period. You will not. You can be the nice person, but you're going to have weak links. You know, I remember, I think I said this once, my mother had a friend, such a nice person, religious lady, but I'm you know, looking back as a teenager, she would, you know, I don't think she ever, you know, she shopped in the wrong stores. Her skirts were always about 7 inches too short. A nice person. I mean, really nice person. And I think, you know, but, so in that area, she never worked on herself. Maybe I haven't seen her for a long time. But, you know, she walked around, men looked at her, not, you know, all the time. When, you know, not only her husband. What do you think? You're not liable for that, for affecting men's heads and marriages and for your own self-image and your own self-esteem? So why was she like that? Well, I don't know. I was too young to really pick up on her. But there's no question she should have worked on that. It's not just because you're a nice person, you can do what you want. There's other people, I once got, you know, you live in Meir Sharm, and there's in the Meir Yeshiva, there's tzaddikim and righteous people, but there's plenty of people wearing white and black who are not so righteous. There are plenty of weak spots. Plenty of them, right? And sometimes you meet a guy who can have a nice long beard and chuckle and then bump into you and not say, excuse me, right? Or be rude and not say, apologize. A chutzpah. Who are you saying? You know, he doesn't even think it's wrong. He thinks he's a holy... He's walking around thinking he's Moshe Rabbeinu's first cousin. He's up there with Rav Shach and, like, you know, Rav Adi Yosef. I mean, the man's a rude guy. But in his own mind, he's not working on himself. You don't work on yourself. You can go your whole life. Your whole life. And when, after 120 years, this guy's going to be showing me, bumping into me on Geula and saying, why didn't you say excuse me? Why don't you apologize? And probably not just me, probably a lot of other people. Yeah. It's, you can live your whole life. The only way is to focus on spirituality. If you don't make time daily, you're starving yourself that day. That won't let you be on the yellow brick road. You will starve for that day. And starving is a problem. Right? A sick person goes to doctors. And he recognizes his sickness. This is the medication. This is what you should take. But this guy, this lay person, who's not a doctor, didn't go to medical school, this is the first thing he had that medicine. He says, no, I don't want to take the medicine. I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood for the medicine. Or I don't like the taste of the medicine. I'm not taking the medicine. I'll take an herbal remedy. Or I'll go ahead and I'll exercise more. You can die. There's a sickness you can die from. Vaday. Can I say? Kim yeimishi yakub bechal yeitzer? Ah, is that a question? Person that he doesn't recognize the yeitzer. Chazal, our sages who knew what the yeitzer was, who were our spiritual doctors. Our doctors, the best doctor for the soul is Chazal. Chazal understood how our souls work. Chazal, you know, through from Sinai, we have a Masorah. They keep Ela Boirush, Mabutbosh, they know how Hashem created us. Who was Iran, and they told us that Hashem said that Refuah is Torah, putting time for Sachari. Mi'efo, could it be that person leaves us behind? Vade Shechosh Shechachomis, you get so involved in life. So I'm involved in my job. So by men, I'm telling you, there are guys who tell me all the time, they have no time for minyan or learning because they're busy in work. And then they tell me, they guilt me. Oh, but I have my family too. The best thing you can do for your family, I'm not saying it has to be a balance, is spending time in Torah and tefillah. Now, everyone's different. I'm not, every case is different. But, you know, you got to put time into the Ruchnitz. I remember, I'll tell you, when I was in Lakewood Yeshiva, so I got into the University of Pennsylvania Law School. So I was going to the University of Pennsylvania Law School. So I asked my great Rosh Yeshiva, Harab Zella Gepstein, a blessed memory, who was one of the wisest men I ever met. He learned in the Mir in Lithuania with someone called Beruchim Lavavitz, who wrote a sefer called Das Chachma Musar. I mean, the Chavrusa, he published it, you know. So I said to him like this, I'm in Lakewood. Anyone ever been to Lakewood, New Jersey? Mm-hmm. Lakewood? Lakewood is like you imagine you're in a different galaxy. Like, you know, you have to find a Shabbos guy is hard. You know, to find non-kosher is hard. To find non-Chalav Yisrael is hard. It's not utopia. There's plenty of foibles there. But there's a lot of Torah there and a lot of good things there. I'm in Lakewood. I was there for a few years. I was in the Kollel there. I'm going to law school. My wife was teaching in the girls' high school there. My chadva wasn't really in school there as Simo was just born. So I said, well, should I just drive an hour and a half a day back and forth to Philadelphia, go to law school, stay in Lakewood, and everyone, you know, in Lakewood they call it Ira Torah, City of Torah. Should I move to Philadelphia? So Rabbi Epstein said to me, he said, why do you want to stay in Lakewood? I said, Lakewood, you know, my kids want Lakewood. You know, my wife, kids, it'll be great. So he said to me, I want to tell you something. If the most important thing for a husband, for the house, is he's excited about Torah. As far as Torah is concerned, okay? You know, he said, if you drive for 3 hours a day, you're going to come back, you're going to waste the 3 hours of your life. You're going to be tired. You won't have excitement in Yiddishkeit. You won't be excited, and your family will lose the most. Understand? A person, if you don't have... You know what the best thing for a husband, for a father, for a person, for a mensch, for a friend is? A little time a day to work on development. You know, I was just listening to it. I am like a bucky in self-help people. I can tell you Napoleon Hill, Stephen Covey. You know, I'm like, I can tell you the Rashi Prakam of these books. So sometimes when I'm bored, anyone who knows when I'm like answering emails, I put either my back on my office, I'm listening to speeches, or I'm listening to Shwaki. Depends on my mood. You know, obviously, you've heard both. Right? So I'm saying I can't answer emails just in there. You know, it's not like listen. And when I'm doing my drushes, it's for sure music. Like, and then I just pace as I'm like, you know, preparing to do a drusha. So I was one of these days because I was listening to a guy Tracy. I had never heard him before. He's like a big author, etc. Said a remarkable thing. He said that he studied all six, you know, for years, self-made millionaires. And one of the most important thing of self-made millionaires is constantly working on professional development. And companies that you have to constantly work on on your own skill set and to try and improve it. Because people around you are improving, right? So his point was, when you invest in yourself, you'll be a better worker, a better salesman, your company will be better. You have to have professional and personal development. That was in life also. You're going to be a father. You're going to be a husband. You're going to be a friend. You're going to be a Jew. You need time to develop yourself constantly. There's FFB syndrome. There's the Baal Tshuva syndrome. This is the Baal Tshuva syndrome which goes, person gets excited, they become religious, and they've made it. And the rest of the life, they just coast. We met such people. And then they tell me, oh, Rabbi, you know, do you know where I came from? Do you know what my parents are like? So that's great. Then I meet the other person, the guy with, you know what yeshiva I went to? Me and the guy's 40 years old, doesn't open a book. Like, you know, yeshiva I went to, you know, you don't meet such people here as much, but I went to Zay Yeshiva. And what about, you know, I know there are people here who are not religious who tell me that they remember Cheder. Rabbi, I went to Jewish school. I went to, you know, they went to Sunday school, like when they're in Toronto, when they're, you know, they're to an Orthodox synagogue. They were not observant even then, but they think like they're well educated. That's it. There's like no continuum of growth, and the only way is to put time and energy in it. He says, so a person this is the medicine. You don't take the medicine, you will be sick at some level. You will, yeah. You know, people think, oh, he's a nice person. My mother's friend, nice lady. You would meet her, everyone here would love her. She's like Mrs. Hartman. She would hug you. She'd help you. She's very, you know. I
Florida influence.
Right? That's how far as everyone love you. Who could, you know? Sorry, do you have any enemies? No! I'm, you know, all right. Everyone, you know, okay. All right. So, at the end of the day, you know, but you know what? This lady, again, at the time, was selling herself way short. You don't walk around with skirts like that. You know, you don't walk around that way. Uh-uh. If I noticed that as a teenager, you think Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't notice that? You don't think these guys are going to the rest of the life you walk around? I'm telling you, you walk around like that? That's not how you walk around, period. That's not how a Gentile walks around, let alone a Yid, let alone a Jew is religious. That's not how you walk around. You can do a million things. If you don't invest in it, you're not going to get to where you're supposed to get. And what happens is then you get caught up in life. You don't have time for class, you don't have time for shiurs, you don't have time for shul, you don't have time for davening. I'm busy, you know. I'm busy. I'm busy with all kinds of stuff and important stuff. Important. Raising kids are important. Work is important. This is important stuff. I need to exercise. Do you want me to get a heart attack? Do you want me to get fat? Do you want me to be unhealthy? I gotta eat. I gotta sleep. I gotta exercise. You know. I gotta do all kinds of things, all kinds of stuff. Until a person says, Rachum in the Emes, they forget the Olympic road. They're so caught up on this alternate road. You know what the alternate road is? This is the alternate road. You eat, you sleep, you work, you stay at the same religious observance for your whole life. And you just go on in life that way. And you don't work on yourself. Some people go down. Some people never even experience the Olympic road, so they have no spirituality, zero zilch in their lives. Right, and you just live on that road because you're caught up in a million other things which take you away from Hashem, take you away from growth. Shafilu yirur dvaram lo yalibu levakish ha'emes. It doesn't even hit in their mind. Achim hu oisek b'Torah. If you go ahead and study Torah and you learn the laws, right? Bir oisid rachel tzivos rasev. You see that what the Torah says to act and to live. When you have that connection and you're learning it, like my wife gives a class, right? My wife was born from the day she was born. She was born to a Shabbos observant home. Right? She's, when I married her, she was pretty religious already, and she feared Hashem plenty. You learn from her. You know, she's giving a class Thursday nights on the phone. Anyone call in? Someone is calling Thursday. She's a Thursday night. How long? 15 minutes? 20 minutes?
15 minutes.
So she's told me. She's done, I think, Rabbi Pincus' work on Shabbos. What is she doing? Rabbi Spiro? Sort of Hirsch. She's vaxed. You know what vax is? Vax means to grow. You're learning Yiddish tonight also. Vaxed. She's grown in her Shabbos observance. She's kept Shabbos for decades. But she's vaxxed. You know why? Because 20 minutes a week, she learns some of the hashkafa of Shabbos. So she's growing her. You learn about Shabbos, you grow in Shabbos. You know, you know what's crazy to me? Honestly, what bothers me to no end, I'm sure anyone has got this vibe for me. I cannot take a Jew who says blessings and davens and doesn't think about it. I just, mind-boggling to me. It's surreal to me because every bracha, every single bracha, without exception, that a Jew makes, should connect them to Hashem. Should have hakaras hatov. Should be a recognition of Hashem. When you pray, it should connect you to Hashem. I mean, people daven shmona esrei or they bench. First of all, if you talk to any human being that way, you'd be crazy. It'd be crazy. It'd be a turnoff to the person. But it's such a loss. You know what's the greatest loss? That you could be even. So, life is, you know, what happens with spirituality comes geometric, right? It's not like when you daven, you're on a higher level, you lose out. You know, so what happens is you daven your whole life. So instead of investing in spirituality to make your davening better, to look at the words, to understand the words, what you're saying better, to look into it, to take time, to make energy. So you daven your whole life the exact same way, never inspired by davening. And one of the purposes of davening is to be merit things, because you don't daven correctly, you get less things that you could have had, that you should have had in this world, had you davened correctly. But what happens? You never work on davening the whole life. and they work on bracha. Is that crazy? Does that make sense to absolutely anyone? Does it make sense to anyone that your whole life to go through brachas and benching and davening and never to work on it? Does it make sense to keep Shabbos for 26 hours and not do it? Does it make any sense? You know what? That girl whose letter I read today, it made no sense to her. She wrote such a letter, like she does everything for her husband and kids. I mean, she's not Shomer Shabbos in her heart at all. You know why? Because there was nothing there. Now, no one here is like that. But at the end of the day, how is it possible to have Shabbos, the most holy, beautiful day of the week, and never work on it? To have tefillah and never... Do you ever have a company that way? Do you have anything that way? But the Yitzhahara says you have to... I'm keeping Shabbos and kosher. I'm so busy keeping Shabbos and davening, I have no time for it. That's what happens. That's how it works. We get so caught up and so busy. But the Torah reminds us that a class like this puts life into perspective. It reminds us what we're supposed to be striving for and doing. So Torah, when we learn it, it causes hisairis, an inspiration to do it correctly, especially why we're doing it, how we do it. Shavu al derech hatov v'yumash amru chazal halavai oisi azu v'torasi shamaro shemur shabba maksir. Chazal say that halavai that you would leave me and you would still keep my Torah. So I just want to finish Torah. Next week we'll do levity and mockery and then bad friends. I personally think that if you're on the road, the worst thing is bad friends. But this thing pulls a person off the road. If you're not investing in spirituality, if you're caught up by a million other things, you know, bad friends, bad relatives, bad friends are a big pull down. Big pull down, big pull away from a person again. But if you won't even get there if you don't put time into it. You won't get to being a happier person if you're not happy. You don't invest in being happy. You won't get to be a calmer person if you don't. Your tefillah, I promise you, without exaggeration, you will not pray better the rest of your life if you don't work on it. Now it could be sometime, God forbid, a person in tragedy that helps them pray. That will be temporary. You will be the same blessing, Birkat HaMazon, benching the rest of your life unless you make changes to it. Unless you invest in, you know, stopping and slowing down, focusing on the words or studying the words or learning about benching, how holy benching is. If you'll go cruise control, and however you bench when you're 16, you'll do it at 22. Unless you have bad friends and you'll imitate them and you'll bench worse. I'm not joking. This is what happens. Without an exaggeration, tonight, just by chance, we're to us my Yiras Shamayim past tonight. That's what I was up to in Tana B'Yo. Guy visiting from LA who learned in very good yeshivas. I never have. It's not like guy says, he asked me a couple questions. He says, why please learn with him over the phone. Okay, this is a guy who learned in very good, lives in Los Angeles. He said he realized that his Yiras Shamayim was like, I was like, first I said, no, I have no time. Then it's like, okay. I said, listen, take my card. You know, let's talk. You know, I mean, such a person hears a shir about Yiras Shamayim, wants to learn about Yiras Shamayim. That's a mensch. You know, that's a person. He's in his late 30s. He's thinking, like, what's my life about? You know, where am I going? You know, guys are in a serious business. You know, where am I doing? You know, how am I living? You know, guys, he came to Marvin a weekday. He's definitely a religious guy. He's here the past two nights. But you can get so caught up, you don't work on your prayers. You know, we're going to do it. You could be angry. You know, Ramesha Feinstein mentioned the story a lot last year. The guy closed a car on his hand, right? And he didn't scream, and he didn't upset. And he asked him, Rebbe, you don't even get angry. He says, you don't realize how many years I worked not to be an angry person. How many years I worked not to have anger. That's how you come to Moshe Fan. You think it's osmosis? There's a guy, I have a friend, his name is Achil Greenblatt. Now he's a Rebbe in Israel. So his parents, his father's a big lawyer, his mother. So he told me that his parents were learning with somebody, and Rav Leuchter. And he was describing his Rebbe, Rav Volba. He said, once saw Rav Volba was walking in the hall, and a guy came running out of a door like this, a yeshiva bachar, and slammed Rav Volba on the back with the door. And Rav Volba at the time, he was about in his 80s. He said, Rav Volba slammed the back like that. By probably 15, 16 year old Shiva kid. He straightened up and he just kept walking. He didn't turn around. Why? Because he didn't, whatever, he didn't feel like to embarrass this kid. It was like, my natural reaction, someone slammed the door. What are you doing? Like, be careful. Like, what? But a yid worked on himself for years. That doesn't happen naturally. You know, it didn't, you know, and it could be sometimes you have to turn on the kid, but he felt the kid would have been mortified. He just kept walking. Like nothing happened. That happens. It worked on themselves. So Torah b'chlal zeh is gam ken kviyas itim al cheshbon ha'maisa, to take time every day. You know, cheshbon ha'maisa, looking at our lives, it's like vitamins. You can't do two. You can't be like OCD. You can't do this all day long. You gotta be. But every day you need to have vitamins. You have to have a few minutes a day where you look at your life and say, what am I doing? How am I doing? Remember Ed Koch? What did he say? How am I doing? Right? How am I doing? You still go around. So every day, after a few minutes there, you say, how am I doing? How's my bench? How's my davening? Am I a good wife or parent or whatever, child or friend or my chesed? How's my happiness? How am I doing? How am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Kmo shechasaf ma'amavar kol zeh. Kol mi shesha p'naimasa. If you see if you have free time, you'll utilize it. You have an opportunity. I've had ladies come to me. I'm currently in between jobs. A few weeks, what could I do? Unbelievable. Instead of saying, wasting all the next 6 weeks of lives in between jobs, what could I do? You know, what shir should I take? Or should I learn something? Is there chesed? Should I work on something? You know, there are ladies who come to davening during the week. Another one come and daven for the week. It's, you know, you daven better. Some people, you get kaddish, there's nothing wrong. You know, it's a good thing. Yeah, what could I do? If you have free time, You have extra time. You're gonna waste it. You're gonna live. You're gonna utilize it for the good thing. You're gonna grab onto something. You're gonna engage in things which help your neshama, which help your soul. You're gonna feed your soul. You have extra time. Do great things with it. Do unbelievable things with it. Don't just squander it. You know what people today kill time. The worst killer of time is iPhones. I can't understand. It's such an addiction. What a time killer. What an absolute time killer. It's so crazy. There's plenty of good uses for it. Well, not plenty. There's a few good uses to it. I can think at least two. do I have my phone? I don't have a phone, but I've seen it. There are some things, but it's such a waste of time. I mean, if you think how much life, time, the most precious possessions wasted on that thing. So certainly if you have a bunch of time, chaperein! Chaperein is? You have to know what chaperein is. Yeah, I know what chaperein is. Take advantage of it. Live it up. Live up a good, do something great. Do a great deed. Daven, work on yourself. Call someone, visit someone. Come to Minyan. There's nothing wrong with ladies coming to Minyan. We're happy to have a mechitza here, Baruch Hashem. You got, you know, you have kash, daven to Hashem. Who doesn't need to daven? You're working on davening. What a wonderful thing. Zeh mafsid. He ends with this last thing. Afal pishu yoyser, klal yinehu yoyser. Even though it's the most prevalent, it's the easiest to escape. The easiest to escape is investing in spirituality. Much harder, we'll pick up next week, is having an attitude where everything is a joke, levity, and having bad friends. Having friends, and bad doesn't mean evil. Bad does not mean evil. Bad means people who lead you down not the Olympic road of life. Those two things exist everywhere. So the first thing is all of us need time to invest in Torah, time to invest in our own spirituality. That's the beginning of helping us to get on that yellow brick road. And we're on there to stand there. Thank you.